Hi, I'm Adriana.
And I'm John.
And this is Kanye Conversations.
Woo. So today, it's a bit of a different episode, not just a strict analysis, but a re-analysis. Or so a what did you say? What's the right word?
I think
Revisited. Yeah. That's what it is. Mm. So,
yeah, I'm so excited. So I'll be revisiting one that John has analyzed before.
And I'll be revisiting one that Adriana analyzed before.
So excited. So I'll be revisiting No More Parties in LA.
And I'll be looking back at Made in America, specifically what the title does. So, yes.
So excited. Yeah, so I think you did a great job of, like, analyzing the lyrics and stuff. But I remember you texted me right after, like, I didn't touch on Kendrick Lamar. And, like, that's not, like, goodness, there's so much to talk about with No More Parties in LA. So Kendrick's definitely someone I'm going to be talking about. But, yeah, I love No More Parties in LA. I think this one is super special to me. So, yeah, I was looking back at, like, the ones that you had done. And, I mean, I liked all of them. But I think No More Parties in LA has the most, like, content that I could, like, talk about. So, I kind of want to talk about the samples in No More Parties in LA, because he has so many. He actually uses 4 different samples in the song.
Oh, damn.
Mm-hmm. And then during work, I was like, John, do you want me to tell you, like, the samples now or later? And so, what I was going to tell you is he actually samples Drake's uncle
in one of the songs. Really? Interesting.
Yeah, I had no idea that Drake, like...
Yeah, I didn't know either. Family. He had family in the business.
Mm-hmm. So... I would love to play just the samples that were used in No More Parties in LA. I think that it's unique in that, like, he doesn't, like, speed up any of the samples or alter them at all, actually. He just kind of, like, plays them. So this one is by a guy named Walter Morrison. And this one is, like, not the very opening sample, but, like, the second one. It's called Susie Thunder Duzzy.
That's so weird hearing it, because it's not, yeah, like, changed at all.
Yeah.
But it seems like, because I just know that part well, it sounds like, it sounds misplaced in that song almost, you know? I don't know, that's really weird.
Yeah, definitely. It's like that for all of them. Like, I literally just, like, yeah, I'm like, No More Parties in LA, like, you know? It's just, like, so, like, I listen to the song, like, a million times, like, so it's wild to, like, hear the samples. So this next one is called Give Me My Love by Johnny Watson, and this is, like, the first, like, when No More Parties in LA starts. Yep. And then this is Stand Up and Shout About Love by Larry Graham, who is Drake's uncle. I think that one's my favorite sample.
I like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it sounds like... It's the one that I could listen to and see it as, like, its own song.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
And then this last one, which I'm so excited about, because this is one of the only songs that Kanye has actually sampled twice. So it's called Mighty Healthy by Ghostface Killah, who's from the Wu-Tang Clan. I don't know much about the Wu-Tang Clan.
I don't know too much about him.
Yeah, so I'd love to play the sample, and then I'd love to play New God Flow, which is one of the songs that he... Well, the other song that he sampled it with.
He sounds so much like, the first time I ever heard that in New Godflow, I thought it was, DJ Khaled or something.
Yeah.
But it sounds a lot like Action Bronson. I don't listen to Action Bronson that much, but like that sounds a lot like it. Oh. But it's Ghostface Killah, I guess.
Yeah. And then I'd love to play Kanye's part in New God Flow. I think this part is just magical. Mm-hmm. Wow. Dang. I just picture him like with the cane, you know, like did Moses not part the water with the cane? I just
That's like the best part of the song.
Mm-hmm. Hands down. Do you like Cruel Summer?
I like Cruel Summer. I think there's some songs I don't really listen to. Like, I listen to Click a lot, Cold, New God Flow, and then the other one that I wrote, Mercy, of course. Yeah. And then there's one or two that are, like, I think underrated, but other than that, like, I don't have too much of a knowledge, but I listen to it.
The last one.
I like that one. Mm-hmm. That one's pretty good.
That one's really good, too. I love the opener to The World. Mm-hmm. I mentioned that one because, like, I think I told you, but, like, one day I just, like, woke up thinking about that song. Mm-hmm. Like, it was my first thought in the morning. And so, like, since then I've been, like, keeping record of, like, what I think about in the morning. And, like, I literally, like, my first thought has been Amelia Earhart twice.
Really?
Like, why? I have no idea. But, like...
It's good to keep track of, I guess.
I don't know. It was, like, weeks ago. But I just thought I'd say that because, like, I just randomly thought of, like, To The World. So, yeah, I think that song is super underrated, and I think Cruel Summer is pretty underrated.
I feel like there's some really high points, and there's some, like, mediocre points, but, like, there's some really good parts, I think, for sure.
Definitely. So, yeah, that'd be fun to, like, rank the albums. Like, I don't even know, like, what mine would be, but I'd imagine that Cruel Summer would not be bottom. Cool. And then I wanted to talk a little bit about, like, just Kanye, like, the creation of this song, because Kanye's been working on this song since 2010.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I was really surprised to know that, and I actually have a video of Kanye working on it back in 2010. So, like, it was during, like, the My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy sessions in Hawaii, and this song, there's a video. Yeah, kind of fun. He hasn't, like, I think that's so interesting to, like, hear songs, like, before they're completely done. Yeah, sometimes, like, because I have, like, this app on my phone where I'll just, like, literally, like, open it up and just, like, record, like, incoherent melodies and stuff and, like, flesh them out later. Yeah, so I think it's so interesting and, like, just to see that, like, things like this take time. And in this case, it took 6 years.
It's worth it, yeah. It's
six
songs.
Absolutely. So do you remember when this song dropped?
Heck yeah, I was listening. Was this one of the, wait, this was the one that it came, Friends came out, and then, like, 30 seconds of this one was, like, attached to that on his SoundCloud, right?
Yeah. Okay, cool. Oh, wow. So, I was like, that was such a real one. I was like, I wonder if John knows. Like, yeah, you do. But, Real Friends came out, and that was the No More Parties in LA tease, and I was like, I want to hear that part, because he teased the Kendrick part, and I was like, oh, what?
This is going to be good.
Yeah, and then 30 Hours came out, and then I remember this song came out on a Monday, like, on SoundCloud, so that was, like, this song was magnificent. Like, it was, like, 6 minutes long. I really loved the Kendrick part. I think, what came out in 2016 with Kendrick? I don't know, but, like, I feel like Kendrick was, like, really...
Pimp a Butterfly might have been 2015, I think.
Yeah.
So, around that time.
Mm-hmm. So, it was just, like, it was so cool. And, yeah, it was part of, like, the Good Friday rollout. And this is actually one of Kanye's longest songs. I wrote down, like, I think the top 10 of his longest songs. So, his longest song is Last Call. 12 minutes and 40 seconds. But, of course, he's not, like, rapping the whole song. And then Runaway... Blame Game, Monster, So Appalled, and then 6 is Say You Will, and then No More Parties in LA, 7th longest Kanye song. Beats out St. Pablo by just 1 second.
Damn. Yeah. Some good songs. So and they're like good. Close to each other on the end. Like uh-huh. the end of that album, I think, is insanely good.
Isn't it?
Pablo.
Mm, we were just talking about St. Pablo, how amazing that song is. Mm. Then Blood on the Leaves and New Godflow. So, pretty good stuff. Yep. Oh, and then I want to talk about Kendrick Lamar.
Of course.
Absolute legend. So from LA. I really love his song King Kunta. Have you heard that one? Isn't it so good?
There's a lot of life in the song, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's such a good walking song. Like, I'll walk around, like, the park in Downey all the time. Mm-hmm. Just, like, listen to King Kunta.
I got a bone.
Yeah. I don't want anyone sitting my throne again. Yes, magnificent. What's your favorite Kendrick song?
Ooh.
Do you have like a clear standout? Because like for me, King Kunta is like for sure.
I have my Good Kid, Mad City.
Ooh, wow.
The Don't Kill My Vibe remix with Jay-Z. Mm. I love that. I really like that song.
Yeah.
Kanye's pretty good. I really it's not my favorite, but I just want to say, The Art of Peer Pressure has really been growing on me. I think that's a super good song.
Yeah.
I think it's between Money. I think it's Poetic Justice.
Yeah.
It's Mad City or Poetic Justice. And then Money Trees is close to that. Loyalty is really good.
Yeah.
God is really good.
Mm.
God is good.
Yes, he is really good.
And I like DNA a lot.
Yeah.
I would say overall, like, my favorite, though, probably is Poetic Justice. I love that song.
Such a good song. Love Poetic Justice. Well, yeah. So Kendrick, amazing in his own right, and so when Kanye and Kendrick come together, I think it's absolutely beautiful. I remember my cousin went to go see Yeezus, so that was like 2014, I think. Yeah, like August 2014, and he said that Kendrick opened for him.
What a concert.
Yeah, like recently he told me that Kendrick opened for him. He's like, you know, I've seen Kendrick. And I was like, when did you see Kendrick? And he's like, he opened for Yeezus. And I was like, what? I can only imagine, like, God, what a treat. Like,
was that a one-time thing, like at an LA show, or like was it the whole concert, like the whole series?
I don't know, maybe it was just a one-time thing, but I'll have to look into that. But Yeah, super cool. I was reading through just Kendrick Lamar's like relationship with Kanye. It seems like Kanye was definitely like a really big inspiration to Kendrick and someone who really believed him and you know, enough to bring him on tour. That's a pretty big deal. Because I think opening acts can really like make or break a show, you know? So who opened for him for Pablo?
No one? It was just like doors open at like 7:30. Kanye performs at like 9. So it'd be like the same time was like as if he had openers. But like we were just sitting there for like an hour and a half. I was like, what are we doing here?
Dang.
I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, there were no openers. I was hoping, my friend was saying, like, Chance was in town at a similar time. And, like, looking back, that would have been insane to see Chance. But, yeah, no one opened for Kanye.
Dang. That's so cool. It must have been, like, so fun, like, seeing him walk out. Or how did he get onto the stage? I'm always so curious.
Because it was the moving stage for Pablo. And so he, like, the stage moved to, like, one end of the room.
Oh.
And then he, like, walked onto it. Okay. And then he performed and went back and forth. And then for the end, they did Ultralight Beam.
Oh.
And then the part that was, like, I don't know. I feel like it says praise, grace, and faith, or like something like that.
Uh-huh.
And then it like moved to the other end, and then like it let him down, and he walked out the other side. So it was pretty cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
Love that. So yeah. So recently, well, not recently, feels like not that long ago, but like back in June, so right around the time Ye came out, Kendrick was on Rolling Stone magazine, and so he had some really cool quotes just to say about Kanye. This was like in direct reference to like Kanye's like best wisdom that he ever gave to Kendrick was to never downplay your ideas and never have any boundaries. Boundaries are pretty great, but I guess like creative
in certain contexts. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of fun, like just to have unrestricted joy in creating your music. And then also Kendrick Lamar won a Pulitzer Prize.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't that so cool?
Was it for To Pimp a Butterfly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he was like, I'm just honored to be recognized in an academic sense. And he said that this should have happened a long time ago. So makes me think, like, I wonder what song Kanye could win, like, a Pulitzer Prize for. Or any rap song.
I feel like Hey Mama.
Yeah. That's such a good one. Yeah. It's a great one. My favorite part of Kendrick's verse is definitely what he says in, like, towards the end of his verse. I have a sound bite for it. This is my favorite part.
All right.
This like goes on and on and on. And, like, I remember listening, this song can't get any better, and then Kanye goes on for like minutes of greatness. So that is my No More Parties.
I have a question about the lyrics there. What did he say? Yeah. Like, believe in Buddhist monks. Captain and then he says Crunch. Captain, I don't get the Captain Crunch cereal, right? But I feel like it's something I've thought about. Like, what's the deeper meaning? But is there a deeper meaning? Do you know?
I think it just
believe in Buddhist monks and Captain Crunch cereal, like
I've never given it much thought.
That's the line has always stood out, like, what? Captain Crunch? I don't know.
I'll have to look into that.
But as you were playing the samples, the second one, I was like, la-di-da-da. Because that's, like, very starts the song, and then it kind of goes, I'm out here.
Yeah.
And I feel like that kind of goes from, like, la-di-da, and maybe you're, like, at the beach or something in L.A., but then it, like, transitions quick, and then, like, the pace is sped up, and so it's kind of like you're going into LA where like it's hectic and like that's life and stuff. So that was kind of, but like LA compared to other cities is pretty laid back.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought,
oh, I like that. Like you're driving through LA as the song changes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's really good. Cool perspective.
Could be true. Yeah. Who knows though? Do you write an essay on it? About? That kind of that's a decent segue into my revisitation. I was talking to someone recently about the nominalization of verbs and how you don't want to do it, but my look at Revisited Made in America, and I think you as well did a great job looking at Made in America. Nothing to say lyrically really about it. I think you covered most of it.
Okay.
But when you asked me, because I asked you what do you think the title does, and then you asked me, and I didn't say anything of much content, I don't believe.
I don't remember what you said, but I doubt
that. It was probably something very, it wasn't as great as what I'm about to lay down for everyone. So yeah, because Rockland's always like, what does it do? And so I thought about it, and it was kind of, like, bothering me. And I'm really glad that we have a revisiting episode so I can explore it a little more. But so Made in America is the name of the song. Like, obviously, there's, like, Made in China, Made in America. That's, like, not really one of the meanings I want to explore on Made in America. But there's, like, two primary meanings that I want to look at.
Okay.
And so first, there's two definitions of made. And then it kind of talks about, and then including some of the lyrics, I'm going to include some of the lyrics. But I think that the title, and again, this is like kind of like what I was saying about the No More Parties in LA, is like, this could be what they were going for, but it could just be a happy coincidence and something that I could like write an essay about, you know? And like, yeah, the person never intended this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Made in America kind of talks, it talks about the tension between like Black success and still and historical like oppression that they've experienced.
Okay.
And so the two senses of made that I'm thinking of first is the sense of success, like, oh, like we've made it, like we've succeeded, we are here, we're made in America.
Mm-hmm.
And that we, yeah, have achieved success, that we are at a higher status, that we've made it, essentially, like we can chill, we've gotten there, we've accomplished mm-hmm. something. And so this is echoed on Migos' song, Made Men, and also Offset has a song called Made Men, but I'm just going to play some a little bit of the chorus from Made Men off of Culture 2. The houses, the whips, the jewelry, yeah, it's all paid for in cash. Like, they have made it. They've succeeded. And so that's the one meaning of it, because it talks about, like, Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, and, like, they're really popular figures in the United States. Like, people, did you know we have a Martin Luther King Jr. plaque on campus?
Right outside Building 6?
Yeah, in front of that tree. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. I was like, what the?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and then the second meaning of made men is from more, I don't know if it's necessarily Italian, but, like, organized crime. Is like, if you're a made man, or if you're a made man, that means you're like marked for death and you're as good as dead, essentially. And so that's from like in, say, the movie Goodfellas. I've never seen it before. Kind of want to see it now, but like someone, my dad was telling me, he was trying to explain it to me. He's like, yeah, this dude's made, and it's like they're gonna take him out back inside the bakery or whatever, the laundering place they're doing, and then like they essentially just kill him. And so he's like marked for death.
Yeah.
And so I think even as that, the tension plays out in the United States is like, there is a lot of success. And at the same time, like Kanye, Jay-Z and Frank Ocean want to point to the fact that like, there still is like hurdles to be overcome
yeah.
in the sense. And so I think it's pointing out the made in a sense like, yeah, we've been successful. We've done a lot of incredible things. We've overcome. I love Thomas Sowell, the economist. He like does a lot of histories of different groups in the United States. And he yeah. points out like, you can say a lot of like, you can pull up a lot of negative data points about like the state of African Americans in the United States. But he points out, which I really like, is that considering what they've had to overcome, considering where they were at in American society,
yeah.
their advances and their success is remarkable and unmatched in history, essentially. Yeah. And so, like, I think that's a really cool perspective to look at it.
Yeah.
And so, in one sense, like, they've made, like, they've overcome so much, they've done great, but Kanye and Jay-Z still want to have that little edge to it in the sense of, like, there's still some mafia made to them. There's still, like, some targeting of them or something yeah. like that.
Uh-huh.
And so, that's what I think. I think the title does that. Because even Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, were successful. They did great things.
Mm.
But at the same time, they were still
yeah.
killed, you know. And, like, their household names are seen. Malcolm X, not so as positively.
Mm.
But do you know, because Malcolm X was assassinated, right?
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that? I don't know much about it.
I remember watching the movie, and it was pretty dramatic. Like, he was gunned down pretty badly. I don't know who by, though, but it was pretty brutal.
And then, yeah, Martin Luther King Jr. was right outside of the motel in Memphis, Tennessee, yeah. I think that sounds right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I think they kind of point to those because they say sweet, sweet Queen Betty, sweet King Martin,
mm-hmm.
sweet Prince, or Queen Coretta, and then yeah. Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're choosing specific figures, I think, that, like, touch glory to some point,
uh-huh.
to some degree, but also experience, like, the harshness and, like, being made in America.
Yeah.
And, like, being a target. So, yeah, I think that's what... I like that answer. Like, when I thought of this, like, I gotta say, I think it was Diamonds was from Sierra Leone, too, that, like,
uh-huh.
felt good about it.
Good.
And, like, this, like, I feel like I could write an essay. I think Rockin would be proud of my
yes.
seeing what the title does.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it explores this tension between success and targeting in
nice.
The United States that
mm-hmm.
maybe they wanted to bring up. Maybe I'll send this to them. Like, yeah, sure. Like, that's what we meant about the song. But
definitely.
Anyways, yeah, that's what I have to say about Made in America.
Nice. Super good. I think Rockland would be proud, and I'd be proud.
Wow.
So there we go.
I'd rather have you be proud than me.
That's really sweet. Thank you. I'd rather have you be proud of me than Rockland, too.
Oh, thank you. He's a cool
course.
Guy, too.
He is. So that's pretty big
that's
regard.
High praise.
High praise. Awesome. Well, this is so fun, John.
Yeah, it was really fun to revisit it. Because I feel like, especially with the Kendrick thing, like, I woke up and I was like, oh, he's from LA.
It's okay.
But yeah, thanks for doing that.
Of course.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Anything else?
I think we're good.
All right. Well, this has been Kanye Conversations.
Woo.